This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Well, the latest data on how consumers feel about the economy is out. It came out just a little bit ago. And consumers are feeling, at least right now, not as great as maybe they had in recent months. There was a pullback in the month of April, according to data from the Conference Board, the third consecutive month of declines. And for both the current state of economic conditions as well as the short-term outlook moving forward, there are some worries about what is out there now and what lies ahead. Steve Odland, CEO of the Conference Board, joins us to break down the numbers. Hi, Steve. Great to talk to you again.
Hi, Dan. Good to be here.
All right. So a little bit of a pullback in April. I mentioned third straight month of declines. What's the general consensus on kind of the pattern we're seeing play out right now?
Well, the Consumer Confidence Index from the Conference Board is made up of two pieces. One is the present situation index, and then the expectations index, which looks at their short-term outlook for the next 6 months. Both of these measures declined, but the biggest decline was in the expectations outlook. So people are feeling a little worried about where they are, but even more worried about the next 6 months. And this has been a pattern we've seen for the past couple of years. If you look at the data in total, it's been up, it's been down, but you know, generally it's been sliding here sideways for a couple of years as people are trying to sort out what's going on in the market, the inflation issues, and where is the Fed going. The good news in all of this is people are feeling good about their own current job situation. You know, most recessions are caused by businesses pulling back, and so this is a job full situation. We've got unemployment at a very low level, 3.8%. We've got people feeling good about their jobs. Their salaries are going up, even if they're not completely making up for the inflationary effects. They are going up. People have money. They are spending. They are using their credit cards. So you've got a situation where the engine keeps running, but people are worried about what's coming.
And so is what is coming potentially a recession?
The Conference Board is not projecting a recession. We are projecting slower growth, but, you know, it depends. It's in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.
Slower growth to some will feel like a recession because it doesn't land like peanut butter. You know, we have different sectors that are going to feel pullbacks while other sectors are doing fine. Thank you very much. And so it is uneven, honestly. You know, the question is, how are consumers going to adjust to this? And you and I both know that this is really important because 70% of our GDP is driven by consumer spending. And hence, you know, you can create a recession here by, you know, actions that happen. But consumers are talking about pulling back on discretionary items in order to adjust their household spending. So food away from home is number one target here for the pullback. Clothing and fashion items, number two. Entertainment away from home, vacations are all in line here to be cut, whereas discretionary items like rent and food and gas can't really be cut. You know, you can adjust, you know, what food you buy, but you can't. You really have to pull back on some of these discretionary items. And so that's what consumers are talking about doing to adjust.
Yeah. And obviously the component of food and gas is going to factor into a lot of those decisions. If you're paying more at the pump, that means you're not going to have as much discretionary income to go in other areas. Same with food at the grocery store. We know there's a level of inflation there as well. So those, it seems like, are the two big areas that are challenging a lot of consumers right now.
Yeah, and you see it particularly with people who are at the lower income levels, you know, where food and gas really are a huge portion of their spending. You know, their paycheck goes mostly to that. You don't see it quite as much with people who have more money, where food and gas are not quite as impactful to them. But so people who are living paycheck to paycheck, you know, this is a big deal. You know, you've got to put gas in the car to get to work and school, and you've got to eat. And so, you know, these two things are driving it. And I think there's a general kind of misunderstanding out there. You know, you have economists talking about, and the Fed talking about, you know, trying to slow the rate of inflation. But that's, you know, the rate of inflation still means it's going up. Prices are going up. And
yep.
So it's still hitting consumers. consumers are looking for prices to come down, and food prices have not come down. And in fact, gas prices, which came down last year, have turned around and have increased so far this year. So this is continuing to bite them, and it is not coming down. And this is creating some problems in their outlook.
And it doesn't feel, Steve, like even though we have seen numbers that say that inflation is coming down, that it's coming down at a level that is easing the minds of consumers right now in many cases. There is still just a lot of concern about where things stand right now, but maybe even more importantly, the longer-term impact of having a level of inflation in the economy that's, you know, as sticky as it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely correct. You know, and you had a lot of chatter in Washington and the news media a couple of years ago about this being transitory. It's short term. Don't worry about it. It'll come down. Well, it didn't. And so, you know, confidence about, you know, those kind of statements have rattled them as well. The Fed meets today and tomorrow, as we all know. It's not expected to make any changes in their policy. They're, you know, looking at a choppy market. They said right along, this isn't going to be a linear thing. It's not going to come down. The rate of inflation is not going to come down in a straight line. And they're right about that. But they are worried about what's happened over the past couple of months. And so they're talking about not being able to cut in the discount rate very much this year. So our projections for the Fed cuts are 0 to 2 cuts. And those cuts would be 25 basis points. So maybe none at all this year, Dan. And and so you've got, you know, the mortgage rates, which are high. You've got auto loan rates, which are high. You've got credit card rates, which are high and not coming down. And so consumers are hearing all this and worried about that, too.
Let me throw HELOCs in there as well, Steve, because there are quite a few components out there that have variable rate component to them that if we saw a pattern of rate decline set up, you know, ready to go over the next several months, people could feel a little bit better that those numbers that they pay monthly on those products were going to be declining a little bit, and that would help them a little bit. Not a significant decline, but at least it would help them a little bit, and at least from a mindset perspective, that might put people in a better frame of mind.
Yeah, and it's not happening. I mean, food is not going to come down. I mean, all of the aspects of the cost structure within the food chain going all the way back up is fixed. I mean, you know, you're not going to cut wages for the labor, you know, for farm labor and everything that are providing food. So food is not coming down. The only place you can come down is gas. Now, that was happening for a while, and we saw consumer confidence creep back up, you know, towards the end of last year. Now that gas prices have risen again because OPEC 2 have increased or, you know, decreased their production, which has increased the cost, you see, you know, it hitting pocketbooks, you know, like immediately. And so this is, it's a big issue. You got another issue going on here in the background. And we don't see this affecting consumers, but it will affect the economy. And that is the whole office market, commercial real estate market. And you've got all of these loans out there, which are hitting mostly mid-sized and community banks. And, you know, you see a bank takeover as recently as this week, Republic Bank, and others earlier in the year. And we're worried about more of that happening. And it doesn't take much to rattle markets and rattle consumers. There's a big overhang here that we need to keep an eye on as well.
What did the data show in general about the labor market right now?
Labor market is easing. You know, it was a historically tight labor market. It's easing, but you still have very low unemployment rates, 3.8%, as I said before. You had the great shuffle, the great quitting. Everybody left and went off. The Conference Board's latest study on that is those people are not happier, by the way. The grass is not greener. And a lot of them wish that they hadn't left. But anyway, people are holding on to their jobs and staying put more than they were a couple of years ago. And, you know, there's still a lot of skill set shortages in various sectors, particularly the skilled blue-collar area. So, you know, I think we're actually blessed by that, because if we were not, you know, you'd see big layoffs and you'd see a real impact to the economy then, and people would really suffer. So in a way, that labor market situation is good. But it is easing a little bit, and, you know, consumers always are nervous about their own situation.
We're talking with Steve Odlin, who is the CEO of the Conference Board. You know, it's interesting because as all of this has played out, I think one of the the components that it has been interesting to watch is just been, you know, the mindset of the consumer over the last 12 months or so, and the expectation, and this goes to part of what you guys report on, the expectation of what they believe they're going to see play out over the next several months as well. It doesn't feel like there is much belief by the consumer in general that we are going to see any kind of a significant turnaround anytime soon.
That's what they're telling us, and they're worried that it, in fact, could get worse before it gets better. You know, honestly, I think the Fed is kind of inkling that. They're saying, look, you know, it's choppy. You know, we may not be able to cut these rates as quickly as we had hoped we could cut them. So, you know, maybe we've got to get through this year. You've got that going on. The wild card in all of that, though, is the election. You know, you've got a situation where it's a very close, the polls are very close. And when that happens, historically, what you see is that the party in power pulls every string they can to try to make the economy better, because, you know, how the economy goes affects people's choice in candidates. So a lot riding on doing everything they can. And so you'll see more student loan forgiveness and, you know, everything that they can do in order to provide, you know, ease the situation for people. You know, they've pretty much cleared the strategic petroleum reserve. So there's not much more they can do on gas prices there. But unless they change regulatory schemes around, you know, the summer gas and so forth, which we don't see happening. But you will see a lot of activity here to try to call favor with consumers between now and the end and the election. And, you know, that's a wild card out there.
You talked about the saving on spending away from the home. Interesting, in the numbers that you guys have put together, two of the big ones are entertainment away from home and vacations. And realistically, I think that's not great to hear as we head into the summer months, because this is usually when a lot of that spending in those two categories really occurs.
That's right. So it's a seasonal thing, and it is going to impact this season. Now, the question is how much. You know, what people say they're going to do and what they actually do tend sometimes to be two different things. But what they're saying is they're going to have to cut back on these things because they are discretionary. Now, you would expect some of that. Remember, we were totally shut down during COVID, and then there was that big resurgence in travel and that big pent-up demand to go out and eat out again and all of that. And you know, there's some natural ebb and flow to this kind of thing where, you know, that's kind of run its course, and you would expect people not to be quite as needy in those areas. But it is worrisome, again, because these are two big areas that that affect the economy. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's discretionary stuff that they can cut, and that's what you see go first before food and gas.
I'll finish up just touching again on the political landscape that we're going to see play out here in the next several months, and the avenue of the fact that from a policy perspective, it would seem to show that the incumbent and the candidate on the Republican side who could be the next president are very divergent on a lot of policy areas, and that has a lot of potential economic impact about where we might be headed come the start of 2025.
That's a fact. The one thing they seem to agree on is they're both mad at the Fed. And so, you know, they're putting a lot of pressure on the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, to cut rates here because that would really help things. The problem is if he does that and then inflation starts picking up again, man, you just blow the credibility of the Fed. You the whipsaw the economy if you have to then cut again. I mean, it would really be a bad situation. And so, you know, he and the other Fed governors are really holding the course here, trying to be, you know, thoughtful and not go too far. You know, it's the whole Goldilocks thing of trying to hit it just right. And they're trying to do a soft landing, which rarely happens. But, you know, they're going to be under tremendous pressure from both candidates. And, you know, that poor guy wouldn't want to live in his shoes.
No, and it is quite the challenge. All right, Steve, thanks very much for your time today. All the best. We will talk to you guys again next month, and hopefully we start to see a little bit of a U-turn on this data. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
All the best. Steve Odland, who is CEO of the Conference Board. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.